It's worth knowing what's really going on. This is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Donald Trump has been indicted in Atlanta.
We have so many court dockets to follow, but we haven't really seen anything yet.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has covered every moment of this historic case.
I've been writing about this investigation for 2.5 years.
Our team is led by reporters Bill Rankin and Tamar Hallerman. Follow our coverage on AJC.com and listen to new in-depth episodes of the award-winning podcast, Breakdown, The Trump Indictment, only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
This is Access Atlanta. Every week, we share some of the best places to eat, play, and live out loud in the ATL. And, of course, we go behind the scenes and find the stories that show Atlanta is one of a kind. Welcome to Access Atlanta. I'm your host, Shane Harrison. We've changed the way we do our podcast. That means we're recording it remotely from our homes, but we've also changed what we're talking about in the podcast, since we've always prided ourselves on providing guidance on things to do in and around Atlanta, and because most venues, theaters, and attractions are closed, we're going indoors, and in some cases where it's practical, outdoors to places where it's easy to practice social distancing. We all know that Metro Atlanta is a one-of-a-kind place, but there are some things here that are especially noteworthy as the oldest or the first. This week, we'll visit some exceptional Atlanta landmarks. For a boost of civic pride, on this week's podcast, we'll discuss a few of these Atlanta originals with freelance writer Mary Welch. Welcome, Mary.
Hello.
So, you went and looked at some things that sort of make Atlanta special in some ways. They're, you know, the firsts or the onlys or something like that.
Well, Atlanta is unique. We all know that. Good, bad, but it is unique. And I've lived in this city for decades, and there were things I didn't even know about. Of course, we all know about the Big Chicken in Marietta, which is
right,
one of a kind. And
yeah.
Yeah. And even before GPS, if you're in Cobb County, your directions were, you know, take a left by the Big Chicken sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you have to love the Big Chicken. Speaking of foods, you know, two of our favorite restaurant chains are founded in Atlanta. Waffle House, my goodness, Waffle House and Chick-fil-A.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting that, the Waffle House was started here and they have the little museum over in Avondale Estates,
yes,
right?
Yes, which has original menus. It hasn't changed a whole lot in the interior design, I must say, but they do have some great, the jukeboxes that they used to have, things like that.
Yeah, and it's funny. It used to be, it was only open like certain days. It wasn't open that often, and lately it hasn't been open at all, really.
No, it's not, but it will be. It's just taking a break.
Right, but it's always good, even once it does reopen, to check when it is, because you never know. It's funny, I live very near it, and yet I don't think I've ever been.
Isn't that always the way?
Yeah, it does seem that way. Plus, there's an actual serving Waffle House almost across the street. So, you know, if you actually want to eat, then you have to go across the street to the Waffle House there and get your hash browns scattered, smothered, and covered.
They're teasing you, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but Chick-fil-A, that's sort of on the other side of town, the dwarf. It was originally the Dwarf Grill, and now it's called the Dwarf House.
Yes, and it's still open and still, serving fantastic food. And from that, Chick-fil-A and the chicken sandwich started. And they actually started in malls at Greenbrier Mall and finally opened their first standalone on North Druid Hills.
Ah, okay. Yeah. You see, that's something I didn't know, that that was the first freestanding one, you know,
yes,
over here in my neck of the woods.
Exactly, yes. They have a great museum as well, including Truett Cathy's motorcycle. He turned out, among other things, he loved to ride motorcycles.
Right. That's interesting. Huh. And you also mentioned in you know, talking about restaurants and things, you also mentioned, of course, the Varsity, which everyone knows.
Well, it was interesting because I put that was last in the story. And I had a couple people email me and say, how could you leave out the Varsity?
Right.
And I said, well, read the whole thing. It's in there. But they're right. Very passionate about the Varsity. And again, it's one of a kind. And we had friends from Belfast come. And they just stood there in total amazement when we took them there. It's like they hadn't seen anything like it. And it's probably true.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's sort of it feels like something that's been there as long as it has. It's sort of a little trip back in time in many ways.
It really is an icon. And thank goodness it's still there.
Yeah. And it's just always amazing that there's still a huge parking lot somewhere right in the middle of
you're right.
That you don't have to pay to park in anyway.
That's right. Yep. And of course, one of the great things about it is you never know who's going to be there. I mean, politicians,
right?
Georgia Tech students, all the movie stars around. It's just a great place to go.
Yeah, it's sort of the one place that people just have to visit when they come to Atlanta.
Yep, and every Atlantan at least once a year needs to go just to renew their faith in Atlanta or something.
right, at least have a frosted orange.
That's so. Right, yes, the power of hot dogs.
Well, outside of food, there's some other things that are, I think the next thing on the list is the oldest house that's in Atlanta, right?
Yes. Well, you know, there's a couple of them, but Tully Smith House is, I guess, designated as the oldest. It was built around 1840, and you can now see it at the Atlanta History Museum.
Right.
But there's Meadow Nook, which is an antebellum house in East Lake. And it's one of the three original antebellum houses that are still in their original locations.
Hmm. Yeah, it's like, it's interesting. When I read the story, I went and looked that up and I'm like, oh yeah, I know that. But I had no idea that's what it was.
Yes. Yeah. And it has a great history too. It was owned by Lieutenant Colonel Robert August Alston, and I wondered whether it was from the Alston and Byrd family, but I couldn't trace it. But he was a journalist, and he wrote about abusive convict labor leasing systems, where they would, you know, give convicts to different companies to use as labor. And
right.
There was a couple of people who didn't like the story, and he was murdered at the Capitol.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. All these little tidbits of history that you learn just from, you know, finding out about these things, these places.
Absolutely love it. I mean, another one is, and this shocked me, was I have been down in Riverdale and driven past the Hindu Temple of Atlanta.
Right.
Which is just a magnificent structure. It's like 27,000 square feet and just beautiful. But I did not know it's the largest Hindu temple outside of India.
Yeah, that was an amazing fact. Very surprising.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's mind-boggling. It's almost a sense of pride for me. It's like, wow, this is
And it was built in 1960, so it's it's 60 years old this year.
That. Yeah. But it's just beautiful.
And that's not the only religious structure that here in that's special here in Atlanta.
Right, talking about first the Temple of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which most of us know more as the Mormons. They built a temple in Sandy Springs, which is the first temple built in the southeast and the second east of the Mississippi River since 1846.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then we have the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception downtown, which is dedicated in 1873, right shortly after the Civil War ended.
Yes, yeah, kind of amazing to think there are things that are still that old in Atlanta with our tendency to tear things down.
That's right. They're few and far between, and that's why we love our originals.
Yeah, and the thing about this particular part of the story, when I read it, I was wondering about the Monastery of the Holy Spirit, which is out in Conyers.
Yes.
And that's something that's been here for quite a while. That was built in, it started in 1944, I believe. So that's a pretty special place as well you can add to the list. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
There's a couple downtown churches. I know St. Luke's and I think there's a Methodist on Peachtree Street that are very, very old as well.
Right.
You know, so there's a few. You just have to read the signs as you go by them.
Right. Exactly. Well, the next place that you had on the list was one that I think I vaguely knew it was there, but I didn't know much about it, and that's the Computer Museum.
I know. Me too. The Computer Museum of America in Roswell has one of the world's broadest collections of personal computers. I was in school when high school when computers first started, and I didn't take the computer class, but my best friend did, and they had all these, you know, all these cards, and they turned a storage room into the computer. It was that big.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's. I think it probably is an amazing place to visit just to see the evolution of computers over the years, because they've gone from filling rooms to, you know, basically being in our hands.
Yep. And I mean, it's one of those things where they'll go, "Daddy, you were alive before there was computers."
Yeah. Well, there were computers maybe, but no one had them except for perhaps the government, I guess.
That's it. Yeah. So yeah, we don't even want to know what they had.
Right.
Yes. And, you know, going back to history, of course, you know, there's a lot of mills in Atlanta, and a couple old ones still exist up in Lawrenceville. Freeman's Mill is still there. It's now in a park. And we all know the unfortunate history of the Roswell mills, which was burned down by the Union forces.
Right.
And then the ruins are still there. But it's a little sad history. But Freeman's Mill is still there, and it's renovated and part of a park.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of those mills have become part of parks. I know there's one at Stone Mountain, and I'm trying to remember. There's one out west of the city, which I can't remember now. But yeah, Soap Creek, which I love.
Yes.
The ruins of the mill there are really cool. It's a great little place to walk too.
Yeah.
And yeah, then there are just tons of them. It seems that we like to build parks around old ruined mills. I don't know.
Well, at least we're building parks.
Right. And that's a good thing. And I think they give us a point of interest in the, you know, not that the nature that surrounds it isn't beautiful, but there's something kind of fascinating about being able to walk through the ruins of an old mill.
Yes. And, you know, again, Atlanta, as you said earlier, does tend to not respect and certainly knock down history. And so wherever it's preserved, it's just wonderful. And, it, you know, harkens back to another time. And people need to know that and to see it. And I just think it's wonderful when you can preserve something. I think it's
right. Yeah. And even if it's, you know, not preserved in its original form, at least some of it is still there for us to go and look at and imagine what it was like, or to research it and learn about what it did and all of that.
Yes. I mean, you go back to Roswell. I mean, there are women who were taken away. It was burned. I mean, the whole Civil War is right there.
Right.
And it's just fascinating.
Yeah. And I guess it makes sense that we have parks around them, because for the most part, a lot of these mills were built on waterways too. So,
yes.
So I guess, you know, parks tend to do that as well. So I suppose that makes some kind of sense.
I think it does.
Okay. So what else? Oh, the transportation.
Yeah.
That's another area where there's some pretty interesting things that you can go and see here.
Yes. Once again, these were, you know, Atlanta was a transportation hub from the very beginning. Yeah. And some of them thankfully have still been preserved. The Georgia Freight Depot downtown, the oldest building in the city, which I didn't know. And you know, you go to a lot of the towns, Marietta, Kennesaw, Forsyth, Duluth, Hapeville, they still have their freight depots. I mean, where people go and get on the train, and you know, some of the most beautiful structures around the, you know, the country are these, you know, train depots, because that was important to people. And it's just a sense of history. I mean, the Marietta one was built in 1864. You know?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing when there are things here that are that old, you know?
You're right. Yes. And they're still functioning. A lot of them, a couple of them are tourism centers. A couple are offices. A couple still work as, you know, get on the railroad.
Right. And then there's a one you didn't mention was Decatur, the depot here, which was in danger of being torn down at one time, but it was preserved. And now you can go eat some fabulous food there at Kimball House.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. That building is over 100 years old. I think it was built in the very early part of the 1900s. And yeah, it used to be a music venue. It's been several things, and it was practically falling apart. Yeah. But luckily, it was saved and is now restored. And it's a beautiful building. And Kimball House has done a great job with the interior. It looks lovely.
Well, that's on one of my lists to go, because I hear the oysters there are just amazing.
Oh, they are. That's if you're going to get oysters somewhere in Atlanta, that's the place to go.
That's what I've heard. So now I have two reasons to go.
Yeah, exactly, because it's both historic and delicious.
Yes, and my favorite things.
So, and on to one place that everyone knows, but maybe not everyone's been.
Right.
The Claremont Lounge.
Yes. Once again, only in Atlanta.
Yep.
You know, people love it. I've been twice, and I didn't get it. But as I said, my friends from Belfast, when they came, a couple of us went, and they just loved it. And every time they've been back, they're straight, you know, they're at the Claremont Lounge with their t-shirts and everything. But it's a special place.
Yeah, and that's one of the places, along with the Varsity, where people who come to Atlanta, it's usually one of the first places they want to go.
Yes. Yeah.
And oddly enough, despite the fact that the hotel itself and you know, the restaurant, Tiny Lou's is there, there's the rooftop.
Yes.
All of that's been renovated and is very different. And yet the Claremont Lounge itself in the basement doesn't seem to have changed a whole lot.
No, I think that was by design.
I think so too. Yeah. Because that would have caused quite the uproar if you change the Claremont Lounge.
Yeah,
it still has that kind of seedy underground vibe that it's always had.
Yeah,
which I like. I you know, after being the hotel is great and all of that, but I once went to the rooftop and I was like, I'm not so sure. And then we went down the lounge and I said, oh, I feel much more comfortable here. These are my people.
Yeah. I do appreciate a great dive. I'm much more, yeah. I'm much more, you know, what, you know, when it's worn and dirty and grungy, I do love that. But for me, the Claremont Lounge was like going to the Grand Canyon. Okay, I did it. I'm grateful.
Right.
Touch it off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But others consider it, well, Anthony Bourdain said it was a national landmark. So who's to argue?
Right. Yeah. I remember when Anthony Bourdain came into town and did the, you know, that was a big deal when he visited and got it on national TV.
Yes. And who was it? A British group was kicked out of there because they were trying to take pictures. And
oh, yeah. I don't remember who that was offhand, but yeah. I do recall that happening. Yes.
Yes. Well, and it's a great place for stargazing. A lot of the stars are there.
That's true. Yeah, especially now with, you know, all the celebrities who come to town to film things and all of that. They, you know, at one point or another, they're probably going to end up visiting in Claremont Lounge.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, and in full disclosure, I did take my son there, so that was his first strip club.
Well, speaking of things, Atlanta, very Atlanta, there's always Coca-Cola. And, you know, this is where it started.
You cannot separate Atlanta from Coca-Cola.
And yep.
I don't think we want to, because they have done a lot of good for the city. But yes, Coca-Cola is homegrown. And you can see it all at the World of Coca-Cola, which is actually kind of a fun place to go. But yes, it started in 1891 or something. And the building's there. That was a home of the bottling company, but it's been here for a while. You used to get Coca-Cola for a nickel down at Jacob's Pharmacy in 1886.
Right. And yeah, that building is like right near Georgia State somewhere, yeah. right near the university.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah.
It's actually part of the university now, I think, isn't it?
I think so. I think part of the Baptist student organization or something like that. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's Student Union, Baptist Student Union. So,
yeah,
you know, but Atlanta is home to Coca-Cola, and Coke has been a great supporter of the city and a great spokesperson or representative of Atlanta throughout the world.
And
it's a good, I like a Coke.
Yeah. Yeah, I think most people do. I try not to have one very often, but every once in a while it hits the spot.
It really does. It really does. Yes. We were in Denver. We went to a hockey game at the Pepsi Center, and we kept asking for Coke, and it didn't go over well, but we thought we needed to just say one for Atlanta.
Right. That's like asking for a Pepsi here.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, the next thing on your list, I was fascinated by because I had never heard of this at all. I think it's really interesting that there's a monument to something about gravity.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
You know, there's always one in every crowd, and you just go, "What?" And Roger Babson may be that person. He founded Babson College in Boston, so he, you know, certainly appreciated education, but he did not believe in gravity. Rumor has it involved something about his sister dying, but he also felt that, you know, gravity was responsible for plane crashes and broken bones and intestinal issues. And he just didn't believe in gravity, no matter what Newton Galileo said. And he put a monument up, a marker up at Emory University that is to remind students that, you know, science determines what gravity is, how it works, and how it may be controlled, and he just didn't like it.
Wow. Yeah. And so, yeah, I love the fact that he did an essay called Gravity, Our Number One Enemy. Our Enemy Number One,
yes,
rather.
Yes. The man had a position, and he stuck to it.
Wow. Yeah. But then, you know, it's like, so I guess, if he had his way, we would all go flying off the planet.
I believe he was okay with that. Yes. Yes. You know. But, you know, he just denied it and wasn't going to listen to anything else. It was like, nope, nope.
Well, that's fascinating. Yeah, there's a monument on the Emory University campus, which was erected in 1963, you said.
And it's right outside the Math and Science Building.
Yeah, in a little bit of irony there.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, this is fascinating. I love it.
Well, you know, Atlanta, there's a lot around Atlanta, and the more you go out and read things and just travel around and walk and read the little, you know, signs around, there's a lot more than we think, and it's surprising and it's wonderful.
Right. And it's interesting. I mean, really, this is just hitting some high points because there's probably so much more. You know, the fact that we have three monadnocks, the big rock outcropping, Stone Mountain being the one that everyone knows, but there's also Arabia Mountain and Panola Mountain. There's another one for you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's one of the original time capsules is in Oglethorpe University.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So go explore on your own, everyone. There's always new and interesting and fascinating things to find out about Atlanta. And Mary's just given us a short list that you can start with and then go explore on your own.
Absolutely.
And you can read her story at AJC.com, and that will give you addresses and websites and things like that, ways to get to these places and check out more information about them. Thanks for bringing us this, Mary.
Well, thank you.
There's nothing normal about our new normal, but AJC.com is the same trusted source you've always had, and we have just as much great content, if not more. That's why each week I'll highlight my personal picks for the best things to do, see, and experience, and the stories are easy to find on AJC.com. The production schedule is as packed as it has ever been in Georgia, with at least 49 films and TV shows happening in the state, the most since the Atlanta Journal-Constitution began tracking in June 2019. Studios are full despite Georgia facing its worst COVID-19 case numbers since the beginning of the pandemic. All productions are under COVID-style protocols. Find out what that means and what's filming here on Rodney Ho's Radio and TV Talk blog at AJC.com. They're a little different from the Fountain of Rings at Centennial Olympic Park or the Big Chicken in Marietta, but musical landmarks around the city and the state maintain their own charm. The continued growth of the music industry in the city and region, coupled with its peerless history, means plenty of opportunities to swing by iconic spots, both new and old. Melissa Ruggieri takes us to some of these landmarks in a recent story that you'll find on the Atlanta Music Scene blog. We'll also bring it to you in podcast form in the coming weeks. 76 years ago, on January 27, 1945, the prisoners in Auschwitz-Birkenau were liberated by the Soviet Army. That date, January 27th, has been named by the United Nations as Holocaust Remembrance Day, a day when the UN urges every member state to honor the 6 million Jewish victims of the Holocaust and millions of other victims of Nazism, and to develop educational programs to help prevent future genocides. Bo Emerson talks with Karen Edlin, daughter of two Holocaust survivors, and her husband, Andrew Edlin, who are co-chairs of a Southeastern virtual event sponsored by the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C. Find out more in Bo's story on AJC.com. The AJC's dining team continues to explore some of the best in takeout with the Atlanta Orders In feature, which you'll find in print in the living section many weekdays. One of the places they recently visited is Big Dave's Cheesesteaks. The pandemic and the social protests over the police killings of George Floyd in Minneapolis and Rayshard Brooks in Atlanta provided a test for owner Derek Hayes. In May, and again in August, the windows of his Forsyth Street store were knocked out by vandals. Rather than being consumed by anger, Hayes saw the experience as an opportunity to help others, and now his business is booming. Read up on all the places the team has visited on the Atlanta Restaurant Scene blog at AJC.com. To get the AJC delivered or to subscribe to the e-paper, go to AJC.com/subscribe.
For more things to do in and around Atlanta, go to AJC.com. Our senior editor is Nicole Smith, podcast edited by Bria Felicien. Music by Bo Emerson and Billy Guin, and I'm your host, Shane Harrison. Join us next week for more Access Atlanta.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving art scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.